Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, all right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. I got B. Scott sitting next to me in the stead of the OG John Lopez. Of course, Figgy Fig on the ones and twos. And you, 713-572-4610. Let us now go around the NFL where shout out to the Bills, and really more importantly, shout out to the Miami Dolphins having a little bit of fight to them, because a divisional game will always, for some reason, give you an entertainment game, and that's what we had. 31-21 victory. And a cover, because good teams win and great teams cover.
There you go.
For the Miami Dolphins. That was a fantastic Thursday night football game on a night where I thought I wasn't going to have much of a football entertainment for me.
Did this one had dumpster fire written all over it? I'm going to even be honest with you.
Al Michaels said as much.
I'll say this. I kind of forgotten this game was being played until I did the show with Seth yesterday, and there was some mention of it with Ben about Thursday night football. And I was like, oh, yeah, there's a game tonight. And then he reminded me of who was playing. I was like, oh, no wonder I forgot there was a game tonight, because it's one that I wasn't expecting to be entertained by. And I was pleasantly surprised to be wrong about that. This was a game worth watching. As you said, shout out to the Miami Dolphins for at least making this one entertaining. Like you said, good teams win, great teams cover. This was both of those. But the Dolphins definitely gave us something worth watching last night.
No, 100%. And it's because they had some fight to them.
They did.
Like, they had some fight to them. And this is the hope, I guess, if you're a Texans fan, that you see, even in the awful, atrocious vibes in Miami Dolphins, Mike McDaniel came out with a good game plan. That opening script was gorgeous Dolphins offense, getting the ball out in the flats, getting a lot of short passes to Devon Achane and obviously Tyreek Hill and everybody. And they were able to work their way down the field, put up points, and establish early on in this game that they were going to compete with a team that was much better than them. How much more now should the Texans be with the team that is at the worst on your level? And honestly, if we are where you should be, is below you in the Jacksonville Jaguars.
But also with Miami running the football, right? Like they did that very well also, right? In a number of ways. Like, they're known for, you know, stretch zone and being more of a finesse type of team, but they were also like, and they stayed true to that, but they were also able to kind of just line up and play in some ways. And like the thing that I really liked about it, and if we're going to kind of relate it to the Texans, what I'm hoping that they're able to do, like, I like bucking a narrative, or like when a narrative gets established about what you are and like kind of what your DNA and identity is, for you to kind of buck that trend and to kind of just like show everybody, especially when it's warranted. It's like they didn't just make this up, this whole thing about them being a soft team, undisciplined. There are reports out there ahead of this game about players skipping meetings and kind of like a general lack of respect for authority and just lack of discipline from that team. And that did not look like an undisciplined, unprepared team, right? They looked like they were buttoned up, and that's not something that you would say about the Dolphins, and credit to them for actually doing that. I would like for the Texans to go out there and buck some of the narratives that we have been, I think, forced to set about them this week based off of how they've played over the last couple of weeks.
Now, interestingly enough, this is one of the tough things, though, when you talk about those narratives and they've set in. When the Dolphins are out here running it down, you throw it a little bit, it did make me go, hey, Buffalo defense. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, I know that they were missing some players, including Houston's own Ed Oliver was not active for this one. So, like, I'm sure that some of those things popped up. But there was a point during this game where I was like, hey, Buffalo defense.
this is what we call nuance.
Yeah, what are we looking at here? Yeah. But, no, a very fun football game. I will say there's been a lot. Like, there was a point in time in this game where I was like, oh, okay, I am done. Like, I am done on the Tua Tagovailoa entirely.
Oh, thing. Yeah.
And it wasn't the interception, because interestingly enough, I don't think I'm in the place where I think a lot of people are, where they're like, oh, Tua ruined the game for them.
Right.
But it's clear the limitations that he has. And even in that interception, you could see the limitation is that free rusher barreling down on him. He's trying to get that ball out quickly, as he always is. And they can read his eyes incredibly well. In fact, it was Bernard.
Just show it.
It was Terrell Bernard, who shout out to LaPorte, Texas. But he ends up with that interception, just making a great jump, reading the run. Because all game long, all you can do is throw short, because Tua Tagovailoa does not have a very big range.
There it is. Like, that play actually just punctuated it for me. Like, we didn't even need that for me to already be there, right? And I guess I'm kind of along the same lines as you, of just, like, focusing on the limitations. I mean, as much as I'm giving them credit for their game plan and how they ran the football, and I thought they bucked some narratives about their physicality or lack thereof, the thing that they did not buck, the narrative that they could not escape, was the Tua limitations. And if you need look no further than just the play calling and some of those short passes, I mean, they were basically just throwing laterals. Like, it felt like throughout the entire game. At what point, Al Michaels pointed out that, you know, however many passes Tua had at that point, it was like 3 yards per attempt. It was that bad, you know? And so
there's a point in time where the depth of target was negative, like literally behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah,
because that's what was necessary. Admittedly, against the team that was going to be tough against them, but they needed to just get the ball out behind the line of scrimmage. And you can't feast off of that. You can subsist off of that for a little bit, and it can help jumpstart you. It was clear that there was some limitations.
Yeah, and I think you just earlier poked a hole in one of my takeaways from that game. Like, I came away from that game just feeling like, even though the Dolphins were competitive with the Bills and they only won by 10, I just came away convinced that that's a team that can win the Super Bowl, like, more so than I ever have been before. Like, I think poked a hole in that with their run defense and how the Dolphins were able to kind of get theirs against them. And so it does poke a little hole in that. But the one that I feel pretty good about is the other one that you mentioned, and that's that Tua is just not that guy.
No, for sure.
Nice guy, but not that guy.
No, and of course, one of the things there's a few things you can use to kind of wipe away that criticism that was there, which is, one, division games are weird.
Yeah.
Two, the missing players that they had on that defense, both at, I think, at a couple of levels, and then cornerbacks kind of started falling. But I think that was on both sides of this game. Ultimately, thank you, football. Thank you, AFC East, for giving us a fun Thursday night to head into week 3 of the football week. Actually, headed into, before this game, there was a lot of thoughts on Mike McDaniel and the temperature of his seat. I don't know what a 10-point loss, even though it was competitive up until largely the end of the game, does for him.
Hey, he was noticeably sweaty too in whatever in-game interview he did. I forget if it was halftime.
It was coming in after halftime.
And where was this game?
Buffalo.
That's right. Highmark Stadium.
And so, like, I know, I understand.
The seat must really be hot.
Dude. Literally, physically.
There's no way it was hot enough in Buffalo at night for him to have been sweating the way he was. I was concerned.
He looked like he was out there playing.
Yo.
Like, he was, like,
he's out there feeling the heat.
It felt like drawing up the plays was manual labor for him. Which, you know what? Watching it, I can kind of see how you get. There was a lot of scheming within that offense.
No, he did a good job.
He needed to, because there's been a lot of people that have been on his keister about his job. Although, apparently, let Stephen Ross tell it, the owner of the Dolphins, that is not the case. This is Ian Rappaport reporting before the game on Mike McDaniel's, the stability of his job.
Stephen Ross, the Dolphins owner, does not want to fire Mike McDaniel. He doesn't. He wants this to work. He likes him. He believes in him. He has invested in him, including him a contract extension last year. Still has 2 years, about $19 million left after this year. And whenever he has had to, whenever possible, he has been patient. My sense is nothing is imminent for the Dolphins on that front. However, there's a caveat. That can change. If fans suddenly stop showing up to the stadium, or if players stop playing for him, that can alter the situation.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense because it's not – I don't think it's the X's and O's. Or like, he's what you might consider a really good whiteboard coach. Mm-hmm. Like, he obviously does a good job of designing and drawing up plays and calling plays and coming up with a script and a game plan. Like, he has shown an ability to do that, that he's good at that. I think the questions about him are some of the other stuff, some of the intangible stuff that you don't really get the greatest sense for until it starts to show itself up, right, in terms of players not playing for him or not showing up on time.
Is he a leader of men?
Is he a leader of men? Some of that alpha male type of stuff that's harder to like really measure until it starts to kind of go left.
I don't even think it needs to be an alpha male. It's a people business.
That's a better way of putting it.
It's a people business.
Yeah, the interpersonal part of it.
Yeah, that's necessary. Although I did love, and I think Figgy, you caught this when I first played it for you. I don't want to fire him unless y'all get out here not showing up or unless these players don't play for him, which feels almost like a, if y'all want to do something about it, this is how y'all do it. Yeah. I don't know. I just put it out there.
If I'm a fan, I'm like, yo, let's boycott this game until he's fired.
Hey.
Just imagine if Cal said that about Bill O'Brien. He said, hey, I'm not firing him unless people stop going to the games and players stop playing. I'm like, oh, really?
Stephen Ross might as well have just texted the fan base and the media and said, LMK, let me know. LMK shoulder shrug. I emoji.
Once we start losing money,
it's like, I don't want to go to the game. I mean, unless you buy the ticket.
Let me see.
Which is very much the Reggie Attitude approach to this. I don't think I want to go to the game. Unless you got a free ticket, I will go then.
He's like, who going to be there? Y'all coming to the function? Who going to be there?
This came in on the text line, and this wasn't where I was going, but obviously it's fair to bring this up. Somebody asked that, compared to Tua, do y'all believe that CJ is headed down that same path? And I'll put that up to you, but my immediate reaction was, like, I genuinely think no.
No, I don't think so, but I do think that that's the legitimate concern, right? Like, when you have what we've been watching over the last couple of weeks, and even if you want to extend it to toward the end of last season, I think that's a fair concern. I feel like we've also seen enough and know enough about him as a player and as a quarterback, and I've been around a little bit to kind of have a good sense for the makeup. Like, I don't personally have that concern, but I can't knock anybody who does based off of what we've been watching.
Yeah. Some other things around the NFL. And actually, before we get there, I want to remind you that Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year, which is about $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. Today, I actually should mention Josh Allen tied for the sixth fastest to reach 200 career touchdown passes last night as well. I mean, and there's a lot of great players, quarterbacks that are the only ones that have bested him. Talking about Patrick Mahomes, Dan Marino, Aaron Rodgers, and there's maybe some ones that you go tied with Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson. Well,
I mean, he's the best player in the league, right, Josh Allen? I mean, I get Patrick Mahomes has the pelts on the wall.
He's the MVP, right?
MVP.
Just forget that. Aside from that, like, just I'm talking about just a conversation here.
He is incredible.
He's the best player in the league.
In that game, I did see a couple of, Bozo Gene Josh Allen is still in there a little bit.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though. He's got the Bozo Gene alien element to him, and he's also kind of reined it in on top
correct,
of it.
Correct. It didn't really pop out. It was just a little, he's in there. No, I have a hard time going away from Lamar Jackson. There's definitely bias that happens within there from years of having to defend him from running back allegations, having to defend that he's actually a great deep passer. And as people have come along, I'm like, see, I get to exist in this.
Yeah, and you won't have to defend him against me.
I also can't lie. Like, the tripping over your own feet that keeps happening with his team, it's hard to not be like, hey, dog, you also need to be a differentiating factor there. But no, I still would lean towards Lamar Jackson in that case.
Yeah.
Some other things around the NFL. Did you see that the NFL, apparently complaining and snitching works, because the NFL has instructed its officials to watch for false starts, particularly on the tush push now?
Yeah, now look, I am one who is, I won't say a defender of the tush push, because I'm not really that passionate about it. I don't have to feel like I got to defend it. I'm just not bothered by it as much as other people are. But I will say, when you look at how they're lining like this, now this is egregious and it's hard to defend, like how they're lining up in some cases, the fact that you can't really see the ball when they're lining up and when they snap it, like, okay, like and maybe these are things that I wasn't noticing before that now I'm noticing more as people are pointing it out. But yeah, okay, you guys, points are being made. I got you. Like, and they definitely do have to, like, I understand you characterize it as snitching, but this is out of hand. Man got to draw the line somewhere, right?
No, I mean, you know, of course, it's tongue-in-cheek. And yeah, I get it. Yeah. It's just so I can make this PSA for all the children that may be listening. Remember, snitching, you can do it sometimes.
Yeah.
It can be effective.
Yeah. and honestly, not to get too in the weeds about snitching, but as long as you're not, like, in on whatever the scheme is, like, you can tell on somebody else. Snitching is more so when you're supposed to be in on the crime, and then all of a sudden now you're telling everybody about it.
Ain't that dry snitching at that point? You snitching on yourself.
No, I'm saying like you get caught, you know what I'm saying?
Snitching is when you get caught doing a crime. And okay. Then now you telling on everybody else that's in on the crime.
We go in to rob the bank. I get caught, y'all get away, and I'm like, well, Figgy and Reggie did it. That's snitching. But if I'm at the restaurant and you robbed the bank next door, I'm saying, hey, call the police.
Okay.
They robbing the bank.
That's a great thing. And that leads me to my next point in around the NFL. Does this count as snitching? Antonio Pierce now works for CBS Sports after an interim and then getting a big time job as the head coach for the Raiders stint there in Vegas. He said of the now embroiled in controversy, or constantly embroiled in controversy in some ways, Tom Brady, saying that, nah, when he was feeding me some information when I was the coach there. Does this count as snitching?
Yes.
I would say yes.
Yes.
Because you didn't say it when you was coaching.
Well, and he's also, he's benefiting, he's involved, he's basically kind of confessing to the crime to a lesser extent. But yes,
this is snitching. Now you're fired, you're gone. Now you're going to tell everybody what's going on.
Yeah. No, and if you were in on it, yes.
He was in on a crime.
Yeah. No, that's snitching. We do a deed, we do a crime together, we will never tell.
Take it to the grave?
Yeah. Come on now, that's how it go.
Am I my brother's keepers?
Yeah, man, we not talking about it. No.
Well, he talking about it.
Yeah, so he's snitching.
And to be fair,
that's snitching.
He was a part of the whole thing. Yeah. And then they got him up out of there. He was like, oh, so we not family no more?
Yeah.
Okay. I see. I got some.
I put cases on all you players.
You're exactly where I was going.
That's exactly it.
Well, let Chip Kelly
say
it.
You want to do this to me?
To me? Jake! Chip Kelly, the offensive coordinator of the Raiders, has said that he hasn't had any communications of that type.
No snitch.
With Tom Brady as that continues.
If he observes it from afar, it's whistleblowing. If you on the inside.
You know, we need to do the definitive. We need to do the definitive definitions.
I'm just saying.
Of of what is and is not snitching or various other types of telling. Tattling, so on and so forth.
Hey, we get that on the timeline probably like once a week at this point.
We sure do. Because people love talking, don't they?
Salute to these rappers out here, man.
Talking. All right. That's a little bit of Around the NFL here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us here on a Football Friday. And with that being the case, I would like to go back to Thursday in some ways as we're looking towards the game on Sunday. Because back on Monday, that game was not, it didn't make anybody feel good. Especially about this offense. But Nick Caley talked yesterday, as the coordinators do on a Thursday, headed into a Sunday football game. Did what Nick Caley say give you any relief? 713-572-4610. Let's go through it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. I'm Reginald Atitula, sitting next to the man from Hiram Clark himself, Brandon K. Scott, B. Scott, and for John Lopez. And then, of course, Figgy Fig on the ones and twos for you. It is a football Friday. And by the way, just a programming note, remember that the fellas of The Drive are out on location, courtesy of Academy. And they're at Talyard. I don't believe that that's the address. I'm pretty sure that it's Talyard Brewing out there in Sugar Land. It's right next to Constellation Field. So that is more of where you're going. Don't look for no Queens Boulevard. You will not make it, ladies and gentlemen. Talyard Brewing, T-A.
Take us to Queens at once.
T-A-L-Y-A-R-D is where you're putting into your GPS, and you will see the fellas, Ron, Clint, and some other Sports Radio 610 folks. I think I'm going to head out there after the show. I think I will.
That boy good.
He is good. Sexual chocolate. Good. I don't know why that's the one that I felt like I should say here.
Good and terrible.
We can't just start quoting.
I thought it was a trash can.
We will be here all day if that's all we're going to do is just quote these things. Let's talk about Nick Haley and this offense, because it's early on and there's already all sorts of frustrations, which was to be expected in the environment that the Texans have. You're coming in. And I gave you a whole, like, image to kind of help understand, or maybe to help demonstrate why we are where we are.
Yeah.
It's like when you walk into a diner late at night, you hungry, and you order something simple, maybe like an omelet.
Yeah.
And then they take forever to make it, and you like, I'm hungry, I'm mad. And you wouldn't have that
sound familiar.
You wouldn't have that same feel.
It's eggs.
You wouldn't. Maybe you were even in New Orleans for this. But you wouldn't have that same feel if it's noon and you got time. And you're not hungry, and you're like, oh, they taking a little while to make the omelet? That's cool. We sitting here talking anyways. I think that's the feeling that we are here with Nick Haley, but we are here.
Yeah.
That's where we are, and there's a lot of frustration. So I was interested if Nick Haley answering questions yesterday with the media would kind of settle some of that. And so I want to go to a few points, and I'll start with cut six here, Fig, because Nick Haley was asked specifically about the imbalance that was talked about. Shout out to NFL Live for really publicizing this, that when they were under center, they were running the football. When they were in shotgun, they were passing the football, and it was pretty stark in that way. This was Nick Haley's response to that graphic.
You know, I mean, I think we always try to have some balance in everything that we do. The one thing I would say is early on in the season, you know, especially if you take the inventory of the first two games, you get back to a lot of get back on track situations. You know, at that point, we're trying to make some positive plays. So, no, in the long term, I'm really not, you know, because I feel like we do a good job of trying to stay on top of that. Some of these outcomes, you know, come into situations in the games that evolve, whether it's obvious pass situations, et cetera. So I think it dictates it game by game. Certainly, you know, you want to have as much balance as you can.
Yeah, I didn't have as much of a problem with the balance in the first game as I did in the second game. So after we've kind of talked this through, both before the show and now that we're talking it through now, I'm willing to give him a little bit more grace. I felt a lot better about it in the first. Now, obviously, in the second half, they didn't score any points, and it was putrid. I'm not giving them any passes for that. But this was, to me, one game where the balance was off. I know the critical point that all of us or a lot of us look at, and we'll talk about this, I'm sure, more, is the running out of shotgun from the 1 yard line when you got to have it. And it just like not feeling like that was the best feel for the game, and having some concern if your first year offensive coordinator has a great feel for what works and what makes sense in that situation. I'm giving him a little bit of a pass for it there. I won't say just because of what he said there, but also just because it's one example, and I didn't feel bad about the first one. So I got like one okay, one not okay. Let's see what it looks like in the third game.
Okay, I was trying to spin it forward because I feel like that imbalance is something that's going to be continued to watch. And you seem like you're cool with him just being like, hey, circumstances put me in this place where I couldn't get it. I don't like that. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah,
I don't like the idea that circumstances moved me to places.
But that's how they talk about the offense.
And that's deeply upsetting, because the whole dynamic of offense and defense in football is offense knows what's coming, defense reacts. How are you getting put in certain places by a defense?
Yeah, I mean,
you're supposed to be controlling you're supposed to be on the front foot attacking.
It is the pitfall of the game plan offense, and to me, it only works if you feel like you're the ones with the answers to the test. And I've got no reason to believe that, with all due respect to C.J. Stroud and D'Amico Ryans and what the Texans have done over the last couple of years, I got no reason to believe that that combination of guys along with Nick Haley got the answers to nobody's test, right? Y'all ain't Tom Brady. Y'all ain't Bill Belichick. They can do the game plan offense because you do something, or they know what the counter is. They got the answers to the test. Everybody ain't like that. And so along the lines of what you're saying, I do prefer to have an attack style offense to say, hey, we're going to force the issue. And because we know what's happening first, we're gonna force the defense to react to what we got going on as opposed to the other way around. I do not like it, but I understand based off of what they said this offense is going to be, that's what it's going to look like at times.
And, of course, I know I'm oversimplifying it in saying that. I think I like the idea of, hey, where are the places that we can attack on any given week and let's do the things to get there. But the idea that we got to a place where we were so predictable because,
yeah,
well, we just ended up in circumstances where, no, these are things that you still need to be able to control to some degree. Those are in the controllables, yeah, of what you do. And I understand this is the answer that he's going to throw up there. It didn't make me feel better, pursuant to our question.
Yeah.
In that same vein, one of the things that he's been hit on a lot, not just him, obviously the entirety of the coaching staff, is the utilization, or really the lack thereof, of some young, talented players that we thought would be useful for you. And so this was Nick Caley on the possibility of utilizing Texans rookies moving forward, particularly coming Sunday.
Those guys have done a really good job, okay? And we have opportunities. I think a lot of our guys can do really positive things with the ball in their hands. So, again, week to week, package to package, who we have available, and we'll continue to grow. I've been pleased with all those guys, and I've said that before, and that's the truth. So we just got to keep continuing to get better and working at those things.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That didn't necessarily make me feel better about anything. Like, and I know we're trying to spin it forward, but I don't get how, based off of who you had available and what your circumstances were in the first couple of weeks, why that didn't dictate that you would utilize these guys more. And so now, spinning it forward, going into week three, right, going into this, what I've called a gotta have it matchup, or what we might consider a get right opportunity for them. You got some folks that are going to be available to you. And I'm glad that they got these guys available to them. But that doesn't make me feel better about the idea of, hey, based off of who's available to us, we're going to utilize so-and-so. Right? Now you've got more Christian Kirk. I'm glad to have more Christian Kirk. But that doesn't necessarily create more of an opportunity for Jalen Noel. Right? Does his answer right there give you an answer to the Dari Ogunbowale versus Woody Marks question? And I know they talked about this and kind of got into it a little bit later. But, like, no, it does not. You know, so I would say based off of that piece of audio, based off of that answer, no, I do not feel better.
Am I a sucker for saying I feel a little bit better because of it? Now, the Woody Marks one is going to be tough, but I think that when I lean into one of the things that we knew was this is an offense, that Patriots system that Brady ran quite a bit in New England. It very much has a lot of complexities, it has a lot of details, and it requires you to know and not. In fact, Christian Kirk himself,
yeah,
in training camp talked about how that slot position is hard, really hard. I think the fellas on the morning show today were talking about it like it's 400-level course. You, yeah, need to know what everybody else is doing in order to be able to operate it so well because there's so many option things, which, funny enough, press pause, I don't think I considered enough when I thought about the off-target throws that CJ had,
yeah,
how much of that is that, because he did talk about not having this, you know, a lot of familiarity with all the option routes and stuff. You do need to have a little bit of hive mind that has not been developed. So how much of that is the young guys not having as much work with him, or just not having enough knowledge of where to go with the option early on, where we lean to experience? And I do, the reason why I said I feel good, and again, I might be a sucker for this, I think he likes these guys. He just wants to see them be ready to have that all the option portions of this. And then as soon as they are, they should be implemented. I don't know that that makes you feel better about early weeks, but I think it makes me feel better about what the ceiling can be for this offense once you get to that point.
Yeah, no, that, there's nuance to it, and I think that's a good way to contextualize it and kind of qualify things. But at the same time, if at the risk of oversimplifying things, you look at that Texans offense and you feel like, man, they're just not – I don't feel like they're explosive enough. It doesn't seem like
– Agreed.
Like there's an element to just like, hey, sometimes you got to be – like you need brute force. You need speed. Like there are certain physical elements to your football team that you just got to have out there to be successful. And they didn't seem to have enough of it. And it felt like some of these rookies could provide that. And so they should have maybe leaned more into that or done a better job of preparing them to be ready for this space or just having to bite the bullet and eat it and risk maybe they're not ready for the full 400 level course of what you're doing, but maybe you like kind of create the best environment for whatever it is that they do know at this point, given that they give you the best chance physically out there in terms of just like what they're capable of.
And again, I think that this is where one, the injury kind of hampered you with not having Berrios or Kirk,
yes,
both of the guys that you imagine depth chart wise fit in with that slots position. But then I think too, again, this is why having a first time coordinator with an offense that requires a lot is that has a steeper learning curve in the circumstance where you're coming off of Bobby Slowick and people are, you know, hungry or jonesing for better offensive stuff, it all set you up. It was an okie doke in some ways for Nick Cayley in this offense, and we were going to be mad to some degree. It just sucks that it happened this way, I think, early on.
He deserves way more time and more grace than we collectively have been willing to give him. Like, it's part of our job to critique and to be critical, but like just overall, the tenor around this, the response, the kind of the energy around it, if you will, he is not being given nearly as much grace and leeway as I think he should fairly be given.
No, but sometimes fair ain't really what to talk about.
No, because there's an urgency.
I want to get one more thing in here with our short time, because motion was a conversation that we talked about, a lot of people talked about, on giving CJ easy buttons, which apparently he don't even require that much if you let him tell it. This was Nick Cayley talking about the utilization of motion within the offense.
Yeah, I think if you can gain an advantage, a decided advantage, I think that it's definitely something that, you know, you want to obviously incorporate, though, you know, in terms of getting out and getting set. You know, there's some games that we may use more. There's some games that we may not use as much. And I think that's week to week. And that's the honest guy truth. We've used plenty of motion back to spring and training camp, and we have the ability to do that with what we do, too.
That I didn't get, I'm going to be honest.
I don't know, man. Like, to me, it's fairly obvious. It seems like they both kind of tried to downplay the, like, what motion, and maybe they just don't see it, or they're kind of along the lines of it taking time. Like, they haven't reached that level of mastering of the offense yet.
Oh, the plays with the motion, we ain't got as much.
We ain't got that
ready
part. Yeah.
Those still in the back.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's 500 level, you know, and we still on 300 trying to get to 400.
Maybe those ones still loading.
You could
use these plays, right? It's like when you download 2K for the first time.
Yeah.
You could play these, but you can't get into my career yet. That one's still loading.
Or maybe is it that Christian Kirk is just their motion guy?
Can't be that.
Nah.
It can't be that.
I didn't even believe it when I said that. I'm be honest, man.
I'm going to be honest. This didn't make me feel better, but you know, as much, I think there were some instances, but I think really and truly, there was nothing in it that was going to happen in a press conference that was going to make you feel better. It had to happen on the field. And so the next opportunity is Everbank Field, Jacksonville, Sunday at noon. 9 a.m. is when you need to be listening to Sports Radio 610. Sean and Seth to get you ready with everything on Texans Countdown. All right, coming up next is getting to what's popping, including we have an update on one Isak Paredes. Will he play tonight? I don't know. Let's hear next. All right, it's a Football Friday, and let's get into what's popping here in the loop. We got the biggest series of the season for your Houston Astros happening tonight, tomorrow, and then Sunday. 3-game series versus the Seattle Mariners. The season series is tied at 5 apiece. The winner of this series will have the tiebreaker between these two teams and objectively the leg up, because the Mariners lost, or rather won last night against the Royals, a 2-0 victory. And so they're tied. 84 wins apiece right now, and whoever comes out on top when we look at everything on Sunday will have quite the runway to go and win the AL West.
Why does it feel like we've been here before, right? This is a very familiar place with the Astros. Things coming down to the wire, basically coming down to the very end of the season, deciding whether you're going to take this division or not. I mean, it's a, at the very least, a familiar place for the Astros. You like their experience in a situation like this. So, yeah, I cannot emphasize how big of a moment this is, how big of a weekend it is for them, especially like we talked about before, the Mariners coming in there, pitching being the strong suit, the strength of their team. They're bringing basically their best guys into town. You're starting the weekend off with your best guy in Hunter Brown. What is it? It's Hunter, Fromber, and Jason Alexander, right?
That's correct.
That's their rotation of guys. So, yeah, and to, you know, to Jason Alexander's credit, he's been a gamer. He's been up for the moment. So I guess we're hoping by the time it gets to him that they've already kind of taken care of business and won those first couple of games. But it's a huge moment. I cannot stress what kind of opportunity this is for the Astros coming up.
And possibly a big help for that is that Isak Paredes is expected to be reinstated from the IL tonight.
There you go.
By the Astros and be available for this series. Shout out to Brian McTaggart of MLB.com making mention that he was hitting 259 and with a, I believe that would be an OPS of right there in the 800s.
Yeah, and I mean, he was their best player when he got hurt.
He was, and he is still tied for third on home runs with his team, which is going to be important because Joe Espada mentioned, I believe it was yesterday or it might have been the day before, that if Isak Paredes returns, that he's going to advise him to not go 100% on the base path. So if you want extra bases, he's going to need to really probably send it out of the park to get it. But just the idea that that big swinger will be back in the – possibly back in the lineup. Well, definitely in the lineup this week. And I think just the way that they're doing this, they expect to utilize him at some point. I'm wondering if they get him in the lineup today.
Yeah, I don't see a reason why not, especially if they've already laid the ground rules, like the terms of engagement. Like, hey, you're just going out there to swing. We don't need you running hard. If it's a double, make it – like I think we talked about this before. If it's a double, make it a single. If it's a – if you know, ideally it would have been an infield single. This is an out. It's an out. You know, like we're not going to risk longer term injury. I do wonder, just because I'm not like some type of medical expert, I wonder if whatever limits him from running also limits his power to some degree.
That's a good question.
And I don't actually know the answer. As a, just kind of a novice, it is something that I wonder about. Now, obviously you'd rather have him than not. So I'm not going to say, hey, well, if the answer is yes, then never mind. Like, no, let's just go ahead and put him out there and see what happens. This is great news. This is good news for the Astros.
That actually is a really good question because we've been seeing it with Jose Altuve, even though the last week he's really been turning this thing back on. He'd been dealing with that foot injury. I know Joe Espada mentioned that again on Wednesday. And some of that seemingly did limit his comfort in the batter's box. So as much as we know what Isak had been, how quickly does he hit the ground running is also a question. Maybe he just ends up being a guy off the bench because we know Joe Espada likes using those pinch hitters that you utilize when you need a pinch hitter late in the game to go and do something.
Well, also somebody that you have to pitch to. I think that's the big – even before he was really taken off as a hitter, he was like from set go.
Oh, patient.
Patient and giving you – like he's probably – now that Alex Bregman's not on the team anymore – he is your most quality at-bat guy.
Yeah.
Okay, and I would say probably by a mile. So when you need somebody to go up there and give you a quality at-bat, and the hell with running the bases, he might just be able to stand there, force the pitcher to actually pitch to him, and if the dude don't have it, there's your guy that's on base. And then you got to decide there how early on in the game is that. Do you want to go ahead and pinch run for him and get him up out the game since he got you a base runner? So, yeah, you want him hitting home runs early and walking late, I guess.
No, that's a great point. So, yeah, excited to see what that looks like. Hunter Brown on the mound for your Astros tonight. And maybe, just maybe, a little bit of Isak Paredes sprinkled in with what you have going. And it does help. It feels like DH is open for you, right? Like, yeah. I know you've been putting Caratini or whatever, but because Jordan is not on the situation here. Although, if it does feel like expectation is, that man's done for the season.
Can they get a crew of potential DHs healthy and ready to DH at the same time? Like, they've had the DH Altuve at times.
DH chair, baby.
This is the DH chair, man. Like, Jordan is supposed to be your DH, but something's always wrong. Paredes is a perfect candidate for DH, but he's been gone. Now he's back. Jordan's gone. It'd be great to get all of these guys together at some point, but like you say, beggars can't be choosers, man.
Some other things that are popping. Did you see this? Everybody's favorite team, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Hey, Lopez ain't here. We don't have to do that. But Clayton Kershaw is saying that he will retire after this season. And, I mean, incredible pitcher. I know that we don't have to talk too much about it. Nah, but I would like to do it in this way. Him retiring also makes it look makes it even wilder what Justin Verlander's been doing over the last little bit, where he's just been, over the last, what, about 11 starts, he's been fantastic.
Yeah, because he's older than Kershaw.
He is. He came up, he debuted 2 years earlier than Kershaw.
Yep.
He has a 1.91 ERA in his last 7 starts, Verlander does. And he says that he wants to play again next year, and where Kershaw has been, it's been real dicey the last few years with him, with injuries and all. Like, Verlander, man, this is crazy. We have to really just appreciate what this dude is doing.
Yeah, so I found out about this yesterday because I live with a Dodgers fan, and so we talked about
it a little bit. That's
right. Yeah, so this was a point of conversation. Look, with all due respect to Kershaw, I love the point that you bring up because he's going to go down certainly as one of the best pitchers of his generation.
Without question.
One of the all-time greats.
He's certainly going to Cooperstown.
Yeah, oh, yeah, one of the better left-handed pitchers for sure. Curveball out of this world. Like, not taking anything away from him. But it does, like you say, highlight or emphasize how much of an anomaly Justin Verlander actually is when we talk about the pantheon or the greats among the greats. It is truly impressive to see what he's doing, especially kind of digging his way out of it, right? Like, the beginning of this San Francisco Giants experience was not a good one, and he has figured it out. He has found it, and he continues to kind of just beat his renaissance, man.
So happy trails, I guess, once the season ends.
Yeah.
To one Clayton Kershaw.
Great All right, career. Great career for you.
Some other things that are popping. Let me mention this before I forget. Don't forget the fellas of the drive are out at Talyard Brewing. That is in Sugar Land right next to Constellation Field. That's from 2 to 6, as it always is on a Football Friday. And don't forget, with Football Friday this year, you got the souvenir pint glasses. Mm. And this time, it is the drive pint glass. You'll see the faces of T-Mill, and Ron and
All of them.
I forgot their names.
Everybody. Every single one of them.
All of them will be etched into glasses, so you want to make sure you get there. Limited supplies, and remember, it's one per person. You want to get there early as you can to get you a glass.
What's her name?
Yeah.
We turned Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley into what's her name.
Y'all, I was like, the one I remember was T-Mill.
The crew.
Whatchamacallit.
Hey, just like when we got nominated for our Marconi, the promotional video.
It was Tyler.
It was T-Mill. That's right.
I said the right award, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Marconi?
Yeah. I get all my journalism awards mixed up. But yeah, the promotional video was face of the station, Tyler Milner.
Yeah, that's right.
Never forget it.
As a producer, I love it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. And T-Mill be putting in that work, so shout out to him.
Yeah. 100%. I got an email from T-Mill at 11 o'clock last night.
No, and some of it is disturbing how hard he is working.
I tried to tell him, man, go home, man. Hey, don't be at the station working all them hours like that.
Yeah, man, he'll only listen so much, man.
That's right. All right, speaking of faces, the face of the Instagram of one of your Houston Texans, Azeez Alshire, has changed again. Obviously, going back to Jacksonville for the first time since that one hit that got everybody talking, he has changed his Instagram photo back to one of the Joker. Remember that in that time period where everybody was talking about him, he was like, oh, y'all want me to be that guy? I'll be that. And he put the Joker. Of course, it is Joaquin Phoenix's Joker from the Joker that we had over the last few years. Do you like this from Azeez? Because I don't think I actually do.
I don't know if I like this, but more and more, like, I like him. You know, I like Azeez.
Strong agree.
I like what he stands for on the field, off the field, no back down, got a little edge to him, grit to him, but also polite at the same time. Like, I'm with Azeez. I don't think this is necessary. I don't think that you should probably this is not the time, I think, to welcome the villain role or to be the heel. This is probably just not the time for it, but I ain't mad at it because I like Azeez. And what I don't like is how he was kind of mischaracterized as this dirty player. I didn't agree with that play. Like, I thought he could have let up. And so I thought it was, like, rightfully adjudicated. But the way he was talked about after it made me uncomfortable, and I did not think was fair to him. So I am on his side, ultimately.
Right, and I know that he can be surly. I'm not trying to say that he is just entirely pious, even though he is that dude. I just felt like, hey, man, no need to get people jumping or anything. Yeah. Like, I don't think we need to feed into this. Just be the you that you are and go into this game. And maybe he'll say that this is, but I didn't think it was necessary.
It's a little extra.
I'm kind of mad he picked that Joker. Why he picked that Joker?
Oh, yeah. Why are we going with Heath Ledger? Like,
yeah. I'm like, why you went with that one?
Yeah. Is he trying to be – it's like, are you trying to be popular at the same time? Because that's like the...
Is that the popular one, the new Joaquin? I feel like the most popular is Heath Ledger's iteration.
So he didn't go with Heath Ledger.
No, he went the Joaquin Phoenix one from The Joker and The Joker Part 2 or whatever.
I don't know.
Yeah, he should have went with The Dark Knight.
Yeah, he should have given it more thought.
We're like, come on, dog. At least go with Batman 66, you know what I mean?
Don't go
with the classic.
Don't be a thoughtless heel. Especially you, Mr. Thinker. That's you know? Come on, Aziz. Give us a better Joker, dog.
A couple of things here in the city, Houston, I want to shout out. One, shout out to the Dynamo. They have two more home matches, and they will have one of them tomorrow evening at 7:30. They're only 2 points off of that final playoff spot, so all these games are really important, and they welcome in the Portland Timbers, who are above them, very much above them in the playoffs. So this is not going to be an easy match, but it's going to be an important one. One of the four final matches to see if they can get a playoff spot. So that's going on. But then also, shout out to Triple Option Food, as I've been calling them in my group chats. Rice University, baby, they got a victory this week. Yesterday, in fact, against Charlotte. It was 29-17, I believe, or 28-17. They're now 3-1.
Yeah.
And this Scott Abel team, he's come in first year trying to put in the triple option. They're not bad. They're looking good for a year one program.
Yeah, and the only loss is to U of H. And
who might be kind of nice this year.
Exactly. That's what I'm getting at. And so overall, so shout out to Rice. Shout out to U of H. Shout out to college football in the city of Houston right now. At least those two schools, it feels like you might have a little something. I know for Rice, it's been a while, right? So they can really use this. I'm happy for that program.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, for a team like Rice to get through the, that non-con, yeah, and look like this, I'm interested in what it looks like in the season. Now, next week, they do get Navy,
yeah,
which is a little bit of a test, but I'm still looking forward to Scott Abel and what he's doing. So shout out to the university, to Rice University. Somebody said from the 830, well, at least it wasn't Jared Leto's Joker, I guess. Fair.
Yeah.
Because that was
Cheeks.
Yeah. Yes. Cheeks, my friend.
Fair enough.
Cheeks. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. You never want to be Cheeks. And headed into this weekend versus the Jacksonville Jaguars, there are some things that, you know, are in danger of being Cheeks with this Texas team. B. Scott has three things that are worrying him headed into this one. I know that we don't want to lean into anxiety. However, we got to do it. Three things that worry B. Scott heading into Sunday. We'll discuss it next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.